Father, we thank you for just being the grace in our lives that we are so unworthy, and yet you are still so amazing. You are still so awesome that your grace continues to inspire us. And so as we continue through in our service, would you continue to be that? Would you continue to be just the amazing grace in our lives? Would you continue just to be holy? Would you continue to be who it is that you are? From today, from tomorrow, from the beginning of time, that you have continued just to pour your love and your grace upon us, and that we just thank you for that. We thank you for your Son, for his sacrifice on the cross, that we would have the opportunity to be reunited with you, to spend eternity with you in heaven. And so, again, Father, as we dive into your word here, would you continue to make yourself known? Would you continue to allow us to fall deeper in love with your word and with you? And again, just continue to allow us just to glorify you in all the things that we do. So we praise you, we love you, we do these and pray these all in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys may be seated. So to start us off, I guess I want to ask, I don't know how many of you guys may be familiar, perhaps at least one person in the room specifically, but how many of you guys know more or less what the Secret Service does? Maybe a couple here or there. So I guess, like, when it comes to me, the first thing I think of when I think of Secret Service is, like, guys in, ironically, wearing a black suit today, but black suits, and they're wearing sunglasses, and they're typically surrounding the president. They're protecting the president, basically, right? That's the most common idea that comes to mind when you think of Secret Service. But did you know that's only just, actually, not even just a portion of what they does, but that's actually the smallest portion of what the Secret Service does? In fact, actually, the reason why the Secret Service was even founded was because of the fact that they were to investigate and find out counterfeit currencies is where they first started off. They were actually one of the first federal branches of investigation. And from there, they spouted out, and that's where the FBI and the CIA and a couple of those different organizations started out. But again, we're looking at a group of men who are pretty much associated with one job, to protect the president, his family, and past presidents and past vice presidents and so forth like that. When in reality, again, this is just the smallest group, and the majority of these people are out in the field, are doing investigative work, are doing things that we don't even know are even there. That they are in positions that theoretically we could have a Secret Service agent who is here living undercover with us, and we would never know that that's what his job was, that that was his duty, and that's how he was serving our nation. And it's in this idea of living as Secret Service people, as living Secret Service lives, that I drive us into our next spiritual discipline. If you're just joining us this week, if you're kind of new to our series, we've been diving into spiritual disciplines and this idea of disciples in training. And we've been seeing how these different spiritual disciplines play out in our lives and how they bring us to a closer relationship with Christ and how they bring us just to an overall better enjoyment of the life that we have. And so we've gone over several of them so far. We went over what fasting meant and how this pull of hunger, that when you withdraw from food and you feel this rumble in your stomach, that that should ultimately pull you towards whatever you've been fasting about, that you draw towards God in those moments of hunger, that you feed on him instead of feeding on yourself. And then we looked at submission, of what it meant to submit our lives to Christ, that he is the authority, that he is the one that we yield to, that we bend our knee towards, rather than the things that we desire, rather than the things that we want, we submit to his authority. And then the last one we finished off with the last time was acts of service, or just how do we serve God? And in serving God and serving his people, we bring glory to God, and we serve and we love those around us, that those are the spiritual disciplines that we've been called to. And so far, the next one that we'll be diving into, again, if we haven't figured it out, is going to be secrecy. We're going to look at what it means to have secret service lives. And so today what I want to do is, kind of like unusually, I want to go to find out what it means biblically to live secrecy. How do we act out secrecy? And look at a few examples of how Jesus played out secrecy in his lives and how he instructs us to live in secret. And then finally conclude with some ideas of how we can do this and some tips, tricks, and cheat codes, in a sense, of how we can act out secrecy in our lives. So the first thing I want to do is, again, get us on the same page of what biblically does it mean to practice secrecy. So the definition that we're going to be running with here is that biblical secrecy is intentionally hiding your prayers and good deeds to bring glory to God. Yeah, this is intentionally hiding your prayers and good deeds to bring glory to God, and only to God. And again, if you weren't absolutely sure. This is definitely in a discipline of abstinence. Again, we have two of them, abstinence and engagement. Abstinence, where you pull away from something. Engagement, where you do something to see God. And with this one, with abstinence, with this particular one, it's not just the abstinence of speaking, of talking about what you've done. What it's really doing is pulling away from the attention and the admiration that you would normally get from doing something and having people recognize the work that you've done. When we look towards this, again, it's giving glory to God, in that the only person who knows that you've done something is God, and the only people around you who they can glorify for the things done to them is give it to God. That's kind of the idea of how we practice secrecy, of what secrecy means. In fact, this is from Dallas Willard. This is in his section about secrecy. He quotes this, or I quote him saying this, "One of our greatest fallacies of our faith, and actually one of our greatest acts of unbelief, is the thought that our spiritual acts and virtues need to be advertised to be known." So what Dallas Willard is saying here is that we, in our Christian faith, we somehow believe that the only way that we can be faithful, the only way that we can be good Christians, is if we do something and other people know about it. That we somehow have to publicize the things that we do in order for us to be faithful. And what he's saying here is that's not the case, that you can serve people, that you can serve God, that you can do many things in faith and no one but God knows about it, and you could still be a faithful Christian. Ideally, when you're practicing biblical secrecy, what ends up happening is that you take God and you make him in charge of your PR department. And I kind of go there because, again, I don't know if you guys knew, but again, I was an undergraduate at UH studying marketing. And so in the business school, you kind of just tend to dabble at the other ideas and other majors and so forth. And so we studied a little bit of PR. And again, the main job of PR is to protect, to enhance, and to develop somebody's reputation. And that somebody could be a company or could be a person. And again, you see this happen at like basketball games most commonly, I feel like, sometimes at football games. But, you know, you have the announcer and he comes over the loudspeaker and is like, "Please direct your attention to the center stage where we have this demonstration going on." Right? And then everybody looks over and there's this guy with this massive oversized check and it has whatever amount that he's going to be giving to whatever organization. And again, it's not to say that that's a bad thing, but again, the whole idea of why they're doing that is to draw attention to that person, to draw attention to that company and say, "Hey, we are doing something good. You should value us for that." That's the idea of what PR is. That's the idea of what it means to try to do things to improve your reputation. And so when we as Christians, when we practice secrecy, what we do is we say, "God, you are in charge of our PR. You decide what acts become known. You decide what things that we do get credit, or even if they get credit at all. The only person we need to see give us credit is God." So that's this idea of how we practice secrecy, or perhaps maybe more relatable to us, because I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever given an oversized check. I don't think I've ever even met or held one, kind of a thing. So again, maybe something perhaps a little bit more relatable is with our social media and our posts and the things that you see. And then you see all this backdoor bragging kind of come across, where somebody's working at a food kitchen, or they're helping out with the homeless, or they're doing a beach cleanup, and you just see these little hashtags or captions like, "Ooh, it's so much work helping out all these people," kind of a thing. You know, it's again, it's doing work, but the idea is that you're telling people about it. You're trying to promote, in a sense, of the work that you do. Again, it's not to say that the work you're doing is bad, but again, the goal of secrecy is to take that work and let the glory go to God. Because again, when you don't take credit in it, when people look around and they wonder who did it and they don't know, all they can say is, "Thanks be to God for the work done for me." So that's the idea of how we practice biblical secrecy. So again, just summing up, this discipline is, again, praying and doing good deeds in a way that only God sees them, that only God gives you credit for them as best as you can. So what I want to do is kind of dive into a particular chapter where we see this played out very well, and we see a lot of teaching that Jesus gives us about what it means to do things in secret. And this is in Matthew 6. And the first thing that he does is he gives us three different examples of how we're supposed to practice secrecy. This is in the middle of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So he's going through just a large group of teaching. And he's telling and teaching to a large group of disciples as well as his followers all these things that he's telling them. And what he's ultimately doing is he's showing us through this chapter of, again, that we do things, but we do them in secret. In verse 1, he says that you have to be careful about how you practice your righteousness. And this one isn't too big on how it flows into the rest of it. But again, this goes back into our definition, because righteousness in its Greek word can also mean the good deeds that you do. So be careful how you practice your good deeds is basically what Jesus tells us. And so the first one that he goes into is, again, be careful how you practice your giving. And this is in verses 2 through 4. And he says, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that you may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So again, this is this idea of, again, practicing where your left hand doesn't even know what your right hand is doing, that you're doing things in a way that almost you don't know what you're doing in a sense. That again, that's how secretive he's trying to develop this idea, that you do things that you barely know that you're doing them, but only God recognizes that you do them. And he contrasts this to these rich Christians, so to say, who are promoting the giving that they're doing. He says it in verse 2, that they sound trumpets before you. And ultimately, there are two real interpretations that people say that they have. And regardless of which one is actually accurate, they're both quite absurd. And both would just be crazy for us to do in our day and age. So some people will take this as that they actually sounded trumpets when they gave. That can you imagine that if we, during our tithe and offering, when we were giving our things to God, that as we gave them, we would stop the worship and sound trumpets and make a noise, that we could get on our keyboard and hit like a little fanfare thing, and we would drop in our money every single time somebody put in money into this thing? How distracting and how, again, attention-drawing it is to the person who does it themselves, not to the fact that they're giving what God has already given to them, but they're giving because they want the attention. So again, it's just crazy to think about that, that they would actually sound trumpets before they gave their money to God. The other way that they did it was this more, I don't want to say metaphor, it's not quite right, but again, they would just make a lot of noise when they gave. So again, I kind of brought this little pot with me, and I just brought a couple quarters because it kind of just works out well. But again, imagine if this was like gold coins, because that's what they had, right? These coins were worth X amount of money. Again, more than what we'd say a quarter is. And so if, again, you wanted to do this discreetly, you would just take it and you would just drop it in, right? You would just put it in one time. That'd be it. You've made your tithe. You've gave to what God has given, what God has given you. You've given it back to him. But what they would do is they would make noise like trumpets. They would sit in here and be like, oh, I'm just giving to God. I'm loving the fact that I can take this money that God has given me and, you know, oh, it's so amazing that I can just keep doing this and that he continues to bless me. You know, it's like, it's this idea of taking something that should be worship, that should be glorifying to God, and bringing the attention to yourself of, look how many coins that I can continue to drop into this thing. That's the opposite of, again, what Jesus is telling us to do, that you do this in a way that you don't even recognize what you give. Again, it's not saying that you are actually unaware, but again, you do it in a way that you secretively give so that those who are around you don't realize how much you're giving. They don't recognize you for giving. They recognize God for the greatness that he has, that you recognize his goodness and his greatness and how much you can give. And God recognizes you for being faithful with the money he's given to you. The second idea that he brings up here is in verse 5 and 6. And it's also about when you pray. That when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And the Father and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What I imagine when I hear this, when I thought of just street corners, is I think of those guys who, you know, are promoting and marketing, and they have that big sign that they're flipping and doing all kinds of tricks with. I can't remember what corner it was on, but there was this one guy who was just really good at it. Like, he was spinning the sign, he'd do something where he'd like bend over and it would like fall across his back and he'd catch it with his other hand, and then he'd do like a somersault, and I was like, man, I don't know how much this guy's getting paid, but he is earning his keep. Like, he is really working for that sign. But I also noticed after I finished, like, I have no idea what company he was promoting. Like, I have no idea who paid him to do that. All I know is he was really good at spinning the sign. And that's what I imagine that Jesus is telling us here, that when we are praying on the corners, when we're saying, oh God, thank you for giving me the things that you've given, that I am so much blessed compared to these other people. Again, you hear that prayer in even one of the Pharisees that pray, and Jesus says, don't pray like that. Don't pray where your prayer brings attention to yourself. Again, pray in secret. He even says, pray in a way that you aren't even in public. Go into your room, close the door, and go into a place where you can pray in private, and no one but God sees you. So again, we have two ways that, again, you give in private and you pray in private. And then the last one that he talks about here is that when you fast, that you should fast in a way that nobody knows about it. We went over this a little bit in our discussion of fasting, but again, I think it's important to kind of focus on it again, that when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So again, Jesus is telling us that if you take a fast, don't just act like normal. He even says, go beyond that, that you would wash yourself, that you would anoint yourself, that you would prepare yourself to look better than normal, so that when people look at you, they just see God. They don't see the turmoil. They don't see the pain, in a sense, of your fasting. That you know that you're fasting, that you're doing that for a purpose, to bring glory to God in one way, shape, or form. And the people around you just see you and they think, wow, that person is just amazing. Look how faithful they are in just what they do. Not because they're fasting, not because of anything else, but just because they see your devotion to God. Then in all of these things, again, what we see is you do things in secret so that nobody but God sees you. But what's really interesting about all three of these things is that Jesus doesn't say, don't do them. He still says that you should do them. You should give, that you should pray, that you should fast. It's not the action itself that's evil. It's the motivation behind it that makes it wrong. So what you do doesn't matter. It's how you do it. It's the intent that you have behind it that matters. I spoke about this movie, so I know some of us here like it, but in the movie The Greatest Showman, there's a personal character, the main character that Hugh Jackman plays. His name is B.T. Barnum. And again, everything is generally true about what happened. He did start a circus, and he did get people who were unique, and he put them together, and he made the show that people would flock to and would love to watch and see how these people interacted with. But what the movie portrays is that B.T. Barnum did these things because he was like, hey, you are such a unique individual that people would love to come and see you, that you should promote that uniqueness. And maybe that's something that he actually said, but what they don't tell you is that, and again, I feel free to say Google this because I'm not going to go through everything that he does, but B.T. Barnum was a lot more notorious in his intentions. What he actually was doing was simply just trying to make a buck. That he would say that this is the oldest person in the world, that this was actually Lincoln's first mate, I think. I forget what it is. Like one of the presidents' first mate, and this is the oldest person in the world. And he would have people come and pay just to come look at this person. And it was a complete lie. Like, it wasn't true whatsoever. That the people that he brought forward, maybe he brought them into this idea of like, hey, people want to see you because you're so unique. But ultimately, what he was really doing was, I know that people would come pay to see you. And so I'm going to use that to make money. So the movie does it this way because why? Because nobody wants to sit here and be like, yay, go Barnum, he's exploiting these people. No, they want to be cheerful over a character who they can get behind, who they can cheer and say, yes, look at B.T. Barnum, he's doing these things because he wants to, you know, make these unique individuals special and promote and celebrate their uniqueness. So again, the intention of why we do things matters. And that's what he's telling us here. That's what Jesus is telling us. And again, it's not what you do that matters. It's how you do it that matters. So what I'll kind of finish up here is, how do we do this? How do we practice biblical secrecy? And of all of the disciplines, this is perhaps one of the easiest to explain, but probably one of the harder ones to actually do. Because it's very easy for us, again, just to feed into our own pride, into our own egos, and want to give into that. But I'll go through three steps fairly quickly, and we'll kind of go into more of just some practical tips of how you can get through these, which will be a little bit more of what we dig into. But the first thing is just pick somebody. And this could be anybody. This could be a family member. This could be a friend. This could be a complete stranger. But pick somebody that you want to serve in some way, shape, or form. And then in the next step here, you're going to pray and plan. Pray that God would give you wisdom on how you can help this person and how you can plan accordingly that you would do this in secret, that you would help them in a way that they are not aware of the help that you're giving them. And then the final thing is to actually do it, that you still need to plan to do it, because if you don't ever do that, you're going to make this glorious plan and then nothing's ever going to happen. And so the first thing, again, when you are picking somebody, again, it doesn't matter who it is. It can be family, it can be friends, again, it could be just a complete stranger. And the crazy thing about these three steps here is that you could spend a week, a month, a year going through all this and trying to figure out, how do we go about doing this? How do we continue to go about planning to give to this person, to help this person? And at the other side of it, you can also plan and do this all within 5 minutes. So again, you could take your time and say, okay, I'm going to help my mother, and I'm going to figure out what is it that she needs, and I figured something out, and it's going to take me time to prepare what she wants, and I can give that to her, and she would never know that I've set that up, that I've put this into a place, and she's never known about it. And at the same time, you could be in line at Starbucks, or you could be in line to pay a toll, and you're just going to decide, you know what, I'm just going to pay for the person right behind me. So I'm just going to give the barista $5. I'm going to pay the toll for the next person and just move on. So 1 week, 1 year, 5 minutes. The time frame doesn't matter. How you do secrecy isn't about time. It's about, again, the intention behind it. Another thing about secrecy here is that you shouldn't lie to keep your secret. That if, again, somebody were to come before you and somehow they figured out, like, oh, you know what, this looks like Chris's handwriting. I'm going to ask, hey, did you prepare this for me? Because I really appreciate it. I shouldn't be like, no, that was not me. That handwriting does look like mine, but, you know, somebody printed it that way to make it look like mine. No, you shouldn't sin to cover up the discipline that you're trying to do. You should rejoice in that, wow, this person wants to appreciate and receive that. But again, continue just to plan. How can you continue to do things in secret? But again, don't commit a sin to do a discipline. Don't commit sin to try to do righteousness, essentially. The last thing that I'll kind of mention here is that as you do things in secret, that the secret doesn't necessarily have to be forever, and it doesn't have to be to everyone, and it doesn't have to be always. That it's not so legalistic that you can't ever tell anybody. But again, the important thing to mention here is that it's the intention of why you tell somebody. That if I were to talk in Sunday school and say, hey, this was something that had happened to me and how I dealt with it and so forth, and I tell you something that I've done, I'm not saying it because I want you to say, wow, look at how cool Chris was. Look at how good that was that he did. I'm telling it to demonstrate how Christ is working in my life, how Christ is doing something. So if you are to do something and you are to tell somebody, you're to encourage them to follow after Christ-like behavior, not to follow after your behavior, not to model you, but to model Christ. And one thing, kind of looking at this, practically speaking, again, I was fasting coming up into Unity Camp, and I was trying to prepare, just get myself ready for Unity Camp. And I was walking around, and this one, again, if you don't know, I work at the Methodist Hospital, and I kind of, where I work in the mail room, so we just go to we go all around to the different rooms, and we just deliver things as needed. And so I was at one unit, and this unit secretary had just popped open this bag of candy, was handing out a bunch of candy to all the people around him, and they were like, hey, have a piece. And I was like, no, I'm okay, you know, and they were like, so you're going to insult me? I'm handing out all this candy to all these people, and like, this is so rare, and you're just going to say no when I'm right here? And I was like, No, I'm fasting, you know, like I'm trying to do what I can. So again, I'm practicing in secret, but I don't want to offend them. I don't want to make it seem like they're doing something wrong. So it's okay to sometimes bend on that, but again, your intention behind it shouldn't be, look how good I'm doing this, but it should be, look at how Christ is moving in my life. Because again, what's also very common is when I said fasting, they were just like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Because in the hospital, it makes sense that people would fast for tests, for procedures, for different kinds of things. But again, I told them, I'm fasting because I'm preparing for a church camp that's coming before me. And it gave me just an opportunity just to talk to them about what it is that I was doing and that I was pastoring at this church and that I've been, you know, working and serving here at this hospital so that I can work there at the church, so I can do the work that God has called me to. And it brought an opportunity for me just to share with her a little bit of my testimony of who I was and what I was doing. And we just have conversation from time. She asked about how camp went, and we get opportunities now to talk about how Christ is moving in my life and how Christ should be moving in hers. So instead of just something that just happens that I kept in secret, that I refuse to tell, I can use the secrets that I'm trying to keep in order to promote Christ-like behavior, in order to promote Christ himself to those around us. So again, we looked at this idea of what it meant to be in the Secret Service, that there are these men that are around us, that are serving in ways that we had no idea, and that ultimately our goal should be to be Secret Service agents of God, that we are to serve in a way that our service is secret to everyone except towards God. And it becomes harder and harder, I feel like, especially with all the creations that we have before us. Again, I had mentioned social media earlier, and I don't know if you've been keeping up with tech news and all kinds of things like that, but the iPhone 11 is coming out, and they've come out with this new thing that they're trying to trademark even, and they call it Slowfies. Again, what's happening here is, you know, selfies are simply just you take a picture and you're done. What you're doing now with Slowfies is you're taking a slow motion selfie. And again, the idea here is to look at me, to pay attention to me. Look how cool I can look in slow motion, because everything's better in slow motion, right? With this idea constantly being pushed against us, constantly being driven towards us, that we should be working in ways to bring attention to ourselves, it becomes so difficult for us to act in a way where we say no attention comes to us, no admiration comes to us, no justification, no society can say anything about what we've done. All we've done is given this so that God sees it. And that we should savor these opportunities, that we should really practice it and take the time to love God and show Him the glory that He deserves, that these are opportunities that we don't get very often because it's so hard for us to do, that when we can practice something intentionally in secrecy, that we should savor those moments and see how it is that God moves in our lives, of how we grow closer to God during those times, that we can be rewarded not by the things that people say around us, but what God in heaven is waiting to give to us when we rejoin with Him. So be part of God's secret service, not acting in a way to protect God, but serving Him and doing so in secret, that those around you would see your faithfulness, would see your goodness, not in the things that you do, but in the way that you carry yourself, in the way that God continues to reward you and bless you and redeem you. And so as we go through, the one thing that we can't ever keep secret is, again, just how we proclaim Christ, that as we go through our days, that He should be the reflection in our lives, that we would continue to show that how Christ died on the cross and sacrificed Himself for my sins so that I can have the opportunity to stand before you and speak and talk and say things with such hope and such joy that only comes from a Savior. And so as we finish here, if that's somebody that you don't know, don't keep that in secret. Let us know, and we'd love to spend time talking with you and working through what it means to be a follower of Christ. And if that's something that you decide, we'd love to work with you and show you how that can be possible for you and for everyone here. And if you have been following, then again, continue to work in ways that you serve Him, that you fast for Him, that you give for Him, that you pray for Him, in ways that glorify Him and only Him, that you let Him decide whether your actions are things that get recognized by anybody or nobody. And where, again, we can humble ourselves and see that the glory goes only to God. So let's pray. Father, again, we just thank You for the opportunity that You've given to us here, that we have this moment where we can be reunited with You, that through Your Son and through His sacrifice, that we have this opportunity to be reunited in heaven with You. And so, Father, as we go through our days, as we continue through, would You continue to work within us? Would You continue to inspire us? Would You continue to allow us to glorify You and to do these things in a way that, again, don't bring attention to ourselves, but ultimately bring attention to You, that ultimately bring people to know who it is that You are, not who it is that we are? And so, Father, again, as we go through, would You continue to guide us? Would You allow Your Holy Spirit to empower us? And again, just continue to work in us, that we would continue to grow closer to who it is that You are and who it is that You want us to be. So, Father, again, we thank You for this time. We praise You, and we do these and say these all in Jesus' name. Amen.